At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves, it's what our moms tell people when the worldwide developers confer. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
And today is a momentous day because we just, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday? It was a weird day, but we just got our WWDC invites.
That's right. I think it was on Wednesday, I want to say.
And that sounds right.
They finally, I know we were expecting it. We were expecting it around now, but maybe more like on a Monday. But they switched up on a Wednesday. It's all good. We still got it.
That's all I needed. I just want that confirmed, that confirmed WWDC. We know, I mean, it's not exactly a surprise, right? June 5th pretty much fits in with what we've come to expect.
I think that's exactly what we predicted, June 5th. Nice to see it pan out.
And I think, as to Ethan's point here, time to break out the CCRP. Today is going to be full of CCRP, and CCRP actually told us that WWDC was going to be June 5th, and it was right, because if you follow the Bible of CCRP, you will go far. You can apply it to many things in life.
That's true, but Luke, what is CCRP? I'm a new viewer who's just tuning in this week, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, luckily for you, I have this handy-dandy little graphic that I can put up on the screen here so that everyone who is new or returning and maybe is, an amnesiac, you have a one-week-long memory cycle, so you come back here, you're like, what the heck? What's CCRP? Well, now you don't have to worry about it because we'll go over it again. This is going to be on the test. Credibility, corroboration, repetition, proximity. That's the big four.
The big four right there. Got to remember that.
Absolutely. CCRP, I mean, I think, honestly, this is probably my best invention.
I think so. I mean, it's it started as a one-off bit, but it's really stuck around. It has some staying power.
I agree. And it does. Look at this. People are excited. People love it. Someone, though, didn't know what CCRP is. Hopefully this is going to become something that will just become part of the internet vocabulary. You know, this is going to be like LOL or Google or, oh, let me Yelp that.
Yeah, exactly. Like everyone says that all the time. They're going to Yelp something. It's like, you know, someone's going to go on Twitter and they're going to say, you know, oh, Apple is going to release a brand new robot, a humanoid robot this week. And,
exactly.
You know, you're not going to say like, oh, this is silly. This is not going to happen. There's just going to be CCRP. That's all you got to write. And everyone knows what it means. It means it's not happening.
Exactly. CCRP. It comes in handy. You can cut through the nonsense. If somebody says the Apple robot is coming next week, you can hit them with that CCRP ban hammer and be like, absolutely not. You're nonsense. You see a tweet, a fake leak from everything Apple. What's the leaks Apple Pro?
Yeah.
Boom, CCRP. You're done, buddy. CCRP is the new law enforcement of the leaks community, all right? Give me a sheriff's badge. In fact, I wonder if I can go and make a sheriff's badge that says CCRP on it. This is a good thing to know.
That would be pretty good to have.
Where would I go? Buy your own sheriff badge.
Oh, you want a physical? You want a physical sheriff's badge that you can wear?
Custom sheriff badge, Etsy.com.
Oh, jeez.
That's what I like to see.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-mm-mm. Can I get these printed with my own text? No. Well, that's useless.
There's got to be somewhere that you can do it. Or just make a little arts and crafts project.
An engraved pewter sheriff's badge. Oh, with multiple color options available. We could do a gold finish. I think you have to.
It's a sheriff's badge. It has to be gold.
So what? So we've got top text and bottom text.
How long can the text be?
Okay. 25 characters, top and bottom, each.
Can you fit, like, the first two words in the top, last two words in the bottom? Or is it too long?
Character counter online. Okay.
This is very important for us to do live, by the way. We need to get this sorted before we can continue with the show.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. This is of utmost importance. So the question is here, can we fit all four on one line? Because it would be nice if like maybe it could say CCRP police on top and then spell it out on the bottom if it fits.
It would be great if there could be like CCRP big text in the middle and then credibility corroboration on top, repetition proximity on the bottom. I feel like that would be a cool design.
I would need to find a different design for that then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Repetition. Oh god, this is way too many characters.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's 49 characters. Now we could do two on the top, two on the bottom.
And that would just fit, right?
Yes. Just it would fit with one. Well, it would shorten some of the characters because there wouldn't be spaces or commas. You'd lose at least one space or comma, so it would definitely fit.
That's true.
And then, but then there's still five letters on the bottom. Oh, that could say CCRP.
That's true.
Maybe I should, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to order this. Maybe I'm going to make it and sell it as merch. And you'll be able to get your own CCRP badge.
That'll be great.
There we go. That's what I wanted. Add that to your merch. CCRP merchandise. I don't know. A lot of people are in favor of this. Maybe I'll do it. I got to build more hype, though, because I feel like this is an inside joke on here. I put it in my video on WWDC. That was the first time CCRP has made it to the mainstream, you know?
Oh, wow. That's very exciting. We just have to be careful, though. We don't want this to turn into, like, a Kleenex or a Xerox, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it rolls off the tongue in a similar way of, like, oh, do you need a Kleenex? People are going to be like, oh, do you need to CCRP that?
Exactly. You know? We got to be careful, you know? You don't want to lose the trademark, especially if
it's merch. This is good. CCRPD for the police department.
That is good.
Oh, the lore is expanding.
That is pretty good.
I like this. Would you like to be my deputy?
Yes, I think that would be very good.
Okay, wait. I need to figure out. I need to change my name here. Edit name. I want to be a constable.
Okay.
Wait, is a constable? Oh no, those are like low down. It's a great name, but I feel like I need more cachet, you know? As the founder, I think I need to be like, maybe I should even be, should I be in law enforcement or should I be more of a judicial figure?
I think here's the thing though, right? CCRP is all about giving power to the people.
Right.
You know, letting them use their tools to make the determination. So I don't know. How does that fit in here? I feel like maybe we could be gurus. We could be, advisors. It could be even a religion. You got to be careful with that one. But it could be.
That's true. I mean, yeah, we could start a cult here if we're not careful.
Right, exactly.
So we have to manage our responsibility in a safe way. So I think this name is appropriate.
It's very humble of you.
Yes. I mean, we have to be careful, but that doesn't mean we have to be inaccurate.
Of course. Lord Luke Miani. Fantastic.
And then that, of course, makes you Jesus.
Oh, geez. Do I have to die?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I have to die.
If you want
for
CCRP to be a viable religion, then yes.
Oh, geez. All right, I guess I'll have to take that bullet, literally.
Okay, maybe you can be the constable, and I could be chief inspector. All right, that's a bit of a long title, but I think it's good.
That's great. I like that you get a last name and I don't get a last name.
Oh, here, you can get your last name. I'll give you your last name, Constable.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, no problem. No problem, Mr. Rubin. Officer Chief Prophet Rubin.
That's me.
So now that we've been anointed with our newfound capabilities, I think what we should do is go through some of the WWDC articles and see if they're following the rules of WWDC lore and if they're abiding by CCRP guidance.
That's an excellent idea. We need to keep the internet pure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think we should dive in here. We've just got, I suppose we'll go on Mac Rumors, but I want to find their, like, where was their, like, main thing about WWDC? I guess it's just in the top stories here. I'm not exactly sure what is happening here. My Google Chrome seems to be a wee bit broken.
Oh. Okay,
well.
I see what you're looking at.
Oh, there it goes. It's a little laggy.
It's a little laggy.
Don't worry about that, all right?
Okay.
Setting aside Google Chrome, which is terrible, of course. Let's go through here. What do we have? Apple this week announced WWDC will be held from Monday, June 5th through Friday, June 9th. Okay, that's what we expected. Now, of course, we have this teaser image. We're going to come back to this, I think, because this teaser image is very curious. I think you'd all agree.
Definitely. I've heard some very interesting takes about it. Absolutely.
Oh, hey, this is all... Hang on a second. Oh. Okay. We'll come back to WWDC because in the rumor roundup from yesterday, I forgot about this. And I think we need to talk about it because CCRP, CCRP has got a thing or two to say about the headset. CCRP is panicking, quite frankly.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, let's hash it out, Noah, shall we? What we're looking at here is apparently, according to this article, Apple has supposedly demoed the mixed reality headset to executives in the theater just 1 week ago. Now, we're 2 months out from WWDC, but theoretically, it has just been demoed to the top 100 executives. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's very early in development, because there will undoubtedly be people at the tippy-tippy top that will have known about this all along. But demoing it to 100 executives would be a pretty big event.
It would be, that would definitely be a big event, and it would definitely be, when you hit 100 executives, you're hitting people that are, you know, removed, maybe even far right. removed from this this headset. So this is not just like a prototype or like a little demo of like some potential technology. Like if this is actually true, and we'll see if it's true, if this is actually true, seems like they're probably pretty far along in this process.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, top 100 executives, that would be a pretty broad group of people. So that would probably include people that are doing, Apple TV executives, fitness, Apple Watch, things that aren't necessarily related directly to the development and creation of this. So they're, as with everything Apple does, they have everything siloed so that people aren't really crossing over all that much, right? It's the type of thing that Apple loves to do, where they're like, okay, hardware people can know what's going on, but software people, they don't know. They don't know what they're making. And sometimes the hardware people are designing like a stand for a device, but they don't know what the device is. Like, everyone is kind of clueless and doing things in their own little corners because Apple doesn't want anything to leak. And you could argue that they're fairly ineffective, considering that a lot of stuff does leak. So is it worth it? Probably not. But hey, 100 executives have now seen this thing, according to Mark Gurman. Now, CCRP, credibility, quite strong. Let me get the banner back up on screen here. Credibility, that's good. Corroboration, we've heard a lot of reports from different people. Repetition and proximity. This is coming out more and more frequently. So the CCRP on this is good, except there are some potential issues that Gurman outlines. So Gurman says that the device will be at least $3,000, which is steep.
Yeah.
He says it's going to lack a clear killer app, which is unfortunate. He says it's going to require an external battery that will need to be replaced every couple of hours and use a design that some testers have deemed uncomfortable. That's not great. And it's likely to launch with limited media content. What exactly does that mean? Well, I think quite possibly Apple TV content will be the only content that will work in the most immersive way that Apple will want you to watch content. I imagine this sort of like spatial audio. Remember when only Apple TV shows could use spatial audio?
Yeah. You know, I agree, and I could even see it where, like, let me put it this way, you know, we've talked before and we'll talk again about like what the software on this thing is gonna look like. But when you have these services like Netflix, Hulu, whatever, and they all have their own players and their own DRM, I could definitely see something where it's almost like either the software doesn't run or it's some like some compatibility mode that like that you can run, you know, iPad software or Mac software on this thing theoretically, and it behaves like that versus like a native app. Like the Apple TV might be native. These other things either won't work or they might not be. So I could definitely see that being the case.
That would be tremendously inconvenient.
It would. It'd be very unfortunate.
Oh God, I'm nervous. I'll tell you what makes me the most nervous, Noah. And that is the external battery.
Yeah, I'm confused because they're saying that this is a mixed reality headset, because before we were thinking they were going to do VR first before they do mixed reality. Now it sounds like they're just going straight into mixed reality, and that makes a big difference for the battery.
No, I mean, I think it's been mixed reality all along. I think they're using VR to recreate AR.
I see.
So in a video that you guys will see this week on Unreal Air, I wanted to sort of make a video with Unreal because I think that that implementation, in some ways, that implementation seems like it could have advantages to Apple's, because basically, I think there are a few companies out there, Apple being one of them, that have decided, okay, if this technology is going to be more widespread than just the gaming market, you have to be able to do stuff and exist in the real world. You can't just put it on while you're sitting at your desk playing Beat Saber, okay? The market is there for that, but it's not the broad market that Apple likes to target. So, what are we to do? The challenge is, you know, VR headsets are an established market there. Screens that you wear on your face that track your head movement, and you have controllers, that's great. That's already here. But that's not mass market, right? That is still, I think, a novelty for most people, and it is only realistic for gaming. What the public wants is something that enhances their everyday life. I think the end goal, as we've talked about, is a pair of glasses that just look like normal glasses, but the lenses are screens and they project stuff on the world. That's a long way off. Very long way off. So in the here and now, what we have is a debate. What do you want your AR to be? Apple seems to have gone for VR to recreate the world. And so I suspect what they're going to do here is, rather than having screens that can project things on the world, which would require a translucent display and the ability to project things and occlude things within those displays, which is probably hard. Or you can do what they've done, which is make a headset covered in cameras, pipe that video inside, and as you're going from capturing the video to displaying it, you can then add your augmented, you know, mixed reality things. So it seems like most of the work here has gone into creating a system that can record the world in real time and pipe that into your eyes with added stuff.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, I'm just so curious to see how Apple is going to market this. You know, especially if they're going, there's going to be an external battery, and we'll have to see what that looks like. But I feel like that might even preclude any sort of like mobility. Like, can you actually, first of all, already if you have a giant thing strapped to your head and it's covering your eyes, whatever, can you really walk around with it? Maybe you can't. But if there's suddenly a battery, right, I think that like completely throws it out the window. That like, are you going to walk around and have like a wire dangling down with like a big battery in your pocket, like, you know, yeah. I guess this is going to be a sit down kind of thing. And then what exactly are you going to do with it? That's what I'm interested to see.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that's sort of the next step, right? I think Apple has realized that people don't want to be isolated in their headsets. And Apple, I think, is the type of company that is very lifestyle oriented, and I don't think that their lifestyle aligns with virtual reality. So the first step is acknowledging, okay, we're not going to go in here to escape the world. We're going to go in here to enhance it. The second step, to your point, is can you actually wear this? Is this an everyday device? Because the way that this is being positioned right now, it is not. I think Apple's most successful things are things that were an obvious solution, right? The original iMac, it made the affordable desktop computer interesting, fun, and accessible. The iPod, it made portable music the best it could be. Interesting, affordable, accessible, and popular. Then the iPhone, then the iPad, then the Apple Watch. These are all things that weren't necessarily the first in their class, but figured out that missing key to it being a mass market thing. This is not going to be mass market. $3,000 with a big old battery on your waist or externally, a design that some people have said is uncomfortable, not that much media, and a lack of a killer app. This is not going to be, you know, an instant success like the iPhone was. I think, I mean, very similar to what Gurman says here. He says, or I guess MacRumors is saying, that they're striking a realistic tone, that it won't be a hit product right out of the gate. So this might be more like the Apple Watch. I think that's a good example. I'm hopeful that it's more like the Apple Watch. But of course, the Apple Watch was never $3,000.
Yeah, this makes me nervous a little bit. I guess the one thing that I will hope is, first of all, I think it's good, you know, if Apple's striking a realistic tone, because the way I could see this going is that they launch this thing. Maybe it's okay. Like, the original Apple Watch was, like, fine, but it wasn't really that good. And obviously, it's right. So much better now, and Apple's worked on improving it. But if they launch this thing, and it, you know, $3,000, it has all of these, you know, drawbacks to it, you know, people are going to make fun of it on the internet, because people make fun of everything on the internet, whatever. I just hope that Apple doesn't, like, not that they're going to abandon it, but, like, I guess I'm just glad that they're setting a realistic tone for this, and that they're not, you know, that they're not being unrealistic. And you know, when it launches, if it launches like this, there's definitely going to be some problems and some, you know, some negative feedback that's going to come up. So, you know,
right. The one thing I will say is that I think I trust Apple to stick to this and figure it out, which does add some credibility to it. Not CCRP credibility, just in terms of, like, you know how when Google announces products, and I'm sorry, Noah, you might not be able to comment on this, but you know how sometimes Google likes to release products and then just abandon them?
That has happened in the past, yes.
Because, like, you know, Google Glass, they did a tablet for a little bit, the Chromebook Pixel, and then the Pixel Book, and then the Pixel Book Go. Like, they do have a habit of having these not fully baked but interesting technologies, and then they release them, and it's at this point, it's hard to trust, like, okay, if I buy this, are they just going to abandon it? Because it's not just about, like, buying the first gen of something. It's you're buying into the start of what is hopefully going to be an ecosystem that you can continue to be a part of. But so with Apple, like, even if you bought, like, a Series 0 Apple Watch, right, which was obviously not a great device, Apple stuck with it. They kept making it. So it only got better. Even if you, you know, ended up having to upgrade very quickly from the Series 0, They stuck with it. Whereas if you buy Google Glass back in, you know, 2012, they just kind of were like, yeah, so that's a thing. Anyway, never mind. It's gone now. And,
yeah.
But I don't think Apple would do that.
I think, yeah, maybe Google definitely does more, like, for better or worse, maybe more experimentation. Right. You know, it's interesting to see the things that they come up with, but obviously, you know, a lot of times they get abandoned. And you gave a lot of hardware examples. You could also find a lot of software examples for things like that. Stadia was one of the recent ones that happened. Mm-hmm. Whatever. The thing about Apple, I will say, is that on the other hand, they are arguably more conservative, I guess. And I think also they have a better... I'm sure they have a long-term plan with this VR. It's not just that they're like, okay, we're going to launch this first thing, and then we're going to figure out what happens after that. Like, they definitely have a plan for this. You know, they're committed to doing this for the long term. And so even if the first release is, you know, doesn't get it right and it has a lot of problems, I am confident, I guess, you know, the fact that it's Apple, that they'll stick with it and they'll make improvements. And maybe the first gen won't be very good, but, you know, a couple gens down the line, it'll be pretty compelling.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. And somebody pointed out here, you know, AirPower never released, didn't make it. There are some examples of Apple not sticking with something, but I don't think this would be one of them because it's so big. Tim Cook has been talking about AR for ages. I think they've really been showing that that's the route that they want to take. AirPower is an example of hardware canceling and being abandoned, but that's because it wasn't really in keeping with like a broad strategy. It's an accessory, right? And it didn't work. So they killed it. And then it became unnecessary because MagSafe came along. This, I think, is a much larger scale. I know AirPower, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars developing that, and it failed, which is really quite strange. It's kind of crazy that that whole thing happened. But this, I mean, if they spent hundreds of millions on AirPower, can you imagine how much they've spent on this? There's no way that they're just going to say, oh, man, it didn't sell immediately. We're going to quit. No.
And I think the other thing to keep in mind is that AirPower never came out. Like, it was officially announced, but it never... It's not like Apple released it and then... you know, never updated it or abandoned it. You could, if you want, like, you know, an example of that, maybe you could argue the HomePods, and I know they've been updated over the years and whatever, but like, they've never really gotten the love that they need. But like, these headsets, like, the odds that Apple does not release a headset in the next, like, or announce a headset in the next year or two is very small, given everything that we've heard, given the, you know, the direction the company's been going in. So the chances are that they're going to actually launch a headset. And then once they launch it, it's a product that they've launched. It's a major product category, like what you said, a much bigger scale. And so I do think that they're going to stick with it.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. This is not a HomePod or an AirPower in terms of scope. This is probably an iPhone in terms of scope. I mean, it's something that has been in development for years. I think Gurman mentioned that executives have been given insight into how the project is going since 2018. So we are probably the better part of 10 years into development for this. And... I think that they are past the point of no return. This is no longer an experimental thing. However, CCRP, if we go back to CCRP for just a second here, there is a little bit of holes in the corroboration and the proximity aspects of our CCRP analysis here in the form of Ming-Chi Kuo, who is saying that apparently Apple has pushed back mass production of the headset, and the device may not appear at WWDC. So for some context, maybe we can pull up this tweet here. So Apple apparently isn't very optimistic about the mixed reality headset. They don't think that it's going to recreate the astounding iPhone moment. And the mass production schedule for assembly has been pushed back by another 1 to 2 months to mid to late Q3 23, which adds uncertainty to whether the device will appear at WWDC. They are forecasting 200 to 300,000 units, which is lower than the market consensus. So all of this is the type of thing that we see around this time, which it's interesting because I don't necessarily think that this indicates that it for sure won't happen at WWDC. Because as we've talked about in the past, Apple is almost certainly not going to be actually putting this on sale yet.
Yeah. There's definitely like, I could see them, you know, I don't know. They could definitely announce it, right? And they don't even have to give a date. They could say it's coming later in 2023. They could say coming. They don't even have to say that. They could just say it's coming soon or coming. Well, I guess they got to say something. But like, right. You know, they don't have to commit to a hard date. So it could be, you know, even if they're pushing back the production, they could announce it. On the other hand, maybe they want to announce it like shortly before it's available. I don't know. It makes more sense for them to announce it ahead of time. But like,
yeah,
maybe they'll announce it shortly before because they want to have like the momentum of like they're announcing it and then it comes out and then people are using it. I don't know. So theoretically, it's possible, you know, that it could still be announced at Dub, or maybe they'll push it back. It's really hard to say.
Yeah, I personally, I'm of the mind where when you analyze this from a CCRP perspective, which you should, quite frankly, what we're seeing here is, so basically we want to try to reverse engineer what Ming-Chi Kuo is saying to try to figure out like, okay, this is his statement based on what information. So this up here saying, because Apple isn't very optimistic about the headset recreating the astounding iPhone moment, this correlates or corroborates, if you will, mm-hmm. with what Gurman was saying about hesitation. Okay? So we're now seeing that in multiple different parties, right? We've got multiple leakers saying people inside Apple aren't sold that this is going to be, you know, incredible out of the gate. That's a common thread. What is different here is saying that the mass production schedule for assembly has been pushed back to mid to late Q3 2023. Now, that Ming-Chi Kuo is interpreting as uncertainty to whether the new device will appear at WWDC, as the market widely expects. But my understanding of this is that Ming-Chi Kuo is working with information saying that mass production is being put back, and he's interpreting that as pushing the device from WWDC. Personally, I think that isn't necessarily the case, because given the framework of previous WWDCs where they announce it in June but don't ship it until December, doing a fall production ramp wouldn't actually be very unusual, especially given that the forecast for this year then slips as well. So if you're talking about 300,000 units, obviously the iPhone, I mean, the iPhone sells like 50 million units in opening weekend. So when you're talking about iPhone 50 million units, they start producing iPhones in July or August. So that's like a month, 2 months usually tops before they're shipping. And they start making 50 million. So if we're talking about a similar time frame, maybe September for starting the production, you need 200,000 units by December. That is not unreasonable.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, if Ming-Chi Kuo's saying mid to late Q3, right? That's July, August, September is Q3, right? Mid to late Q3. Apple doesn't do anything. I mean, there's a September event, which is the iPhone and the Apple Watch or whatever. But between that event in September and Dub, Apple doesn't really do anything, right? Mm. So unless Apple wants to hold a special event, which theoretically they could do for such a special, you know, new product launch, it still makes sense for them to talk about it at Dub in June. And then they just say, you know, it's launching in a couple months, or they can say coming later this year. They don't have to say when. But if Ming-Chi Kuo is saying a month or two of delay, I don't necessarily see that as a reason that it wouldn't show up at Dub. It's a month or two. It's not that long.
Mm. No, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it is weird to hear some conflict in the CCRP, right? Gurman and Kuo are both fairly reputable, and they have a large volume of leaks. And so to have them sort of at odds is curious. But what I also think is worth addressing here is there's a lot of doubt. People are saying it's not going to be until 2027. People are saying the rumor mongers are going to say that it's canceled or put on hold. Meanwhile, Apple has never even acknowledged it exists at all. I think someone even up here said, like, I don't think it's coming. Somebody said that it doesn't even exist at some point. And I was like, okay, well, that's silly. CCRP is very important here because I think you can end up with a lot of misconceptions about rumors and leaks if you just see, like, okay, yes, people have been talking about the VR headset for a long time, at least 5 years. But if you analyze them with CCRP, you can start to figure out that There's a pattern, and there's logic, and there's a time frame behind these rumors. Like, I know that there are people out there that literally think that these Mark Gurmans, Ming-Chi Kuos, John Prossers, all of these leakers from the top to the bottom are just making shit up. A lot of people do think that. But what CCRP was designed to do is give you a window into the leaker's logic and apply that to Apple, because to just dismiss everything and say it's all nonsense, they don't know what they're talking about, is not true. I have firsthand knowledge of A, leaking information, and B, talking with a bunch of these people. And I know for a fact that they're not just making up random nonsense for fun. That's not what's happening. Even when rumors are wrong, that doesn't mean that they were fake. We talked about this before. So the whole reason that we sort of developed CCRP is to try to disillusion people of the whole like mentality that has come about in the past like 3 years, really, where people just see everything and anything and they just think that is fake. They made it up. There are certainly people that do that, but the credibility aspect, the big leakers, even some of the smaller Twitter leakers, if you look at their history, you can find out whether they are just making things up for fun or whether they're legitimate. And the CCRP on the headset is very strong, because even if you go back a couple of years, you saw things like release date slipping into 2022, or they're now targeting 2023. We've seen 2023 as a year for a release. That in itself has been leaked for the past 4 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, much to your point, CCRP is a powerful tool for determining if a leak is fake, but in the same way, it's powerful in determining if a leak might be real. So it's useful in both of those ways. And I think, you know, we've looked at these different leaks. We've looked at like Mark Gurman, Ming-Chi Kuo, and they might disagree on some things, or they you know, their leaks might be different. But a lot of the overall ideas, like if you distill it into more abstract ideas, they tend to agree, and it's more the interpretation is where they differ. And the interpretation is the part where you're putting your own spin on it. It's where you go one step away from the solid facts. And the facts that they have are incomplete. We don't know exactly who's giving it to them and you know what position they're in, but obviously that person or those people don't know everything. So they're taking limited information, they're making inferences one step removed, and that's, you know, really more where the differences lie.
Absolutely. And I think that's, I mean, the example that I always give is a leak wrong, or is it incomplete, lacking context? And my example for that is with the new generation of MacBook Pros, I had a couple of leaks. And well, three of them actually illustrate exactly what we're talking about. The first leak that I had was correct, and that was a UHS 2 SD card slot. So that leak was accurate. The next leak that I leaked was, hey, these MacBooks are going to have a max of 32 gigabytes of RAM. That was not technically inaccurate, but was without context. And that's, I think, something that happens more than... I think people tend to look at rumors as like, oh, Mark Gurman was right, or oh, Mark Gurman was wrong. But when you look at the nugget of information, what it ended up being was, while I was wrong that the new MacBook Pros can have more than 32 gigabytes of RAM, what I didn't know at the time is the information that I was given pertained only to the M1 Pro, which does max out at 32 gigabytes of RAM. So that isn't necessarily an incorrect leak or false information. It's just an interpretation of the information. Like if I had said the same piece of information, but I had said the M1 Pro will be limited to 32 gigabytes of RAM, that would have been accurate. So that it's a phrasing issue. It's an interpretation issue. Now the third leak is another example of this. The backlit Touch ID button. That is incorrect because Apple changed it. I am 100% confident in the information that I used as and was given as the basis for those leaks. It's the same set of information. But do you see what I mean about this interpretation thing? Because the same set of information yielded a correct leak, an impartial leak, and a false leak in one single, in the same piece of information. And that's what CCRP is designed to get at.
Yeah, and it definitely, you know, even like the backlit Touch ID button, which turned out to be incorrect. That doesn't mean that it was made up or that it was never true. Especially, you know, obviously it gives credibility if one of the leaks was correct and one of them was partially correct and it was the same person. You know, maybe they made up the third thing for fun, but like more realistically, they didn't. And it was something that Apple had planned or had considered or had tested, and it didn't work out. But that doesn't mean that it was made up just because it wasn't true.
Exactly. So, sorry, I don't mean to get to college professory here, but I think that this is something that I've noticed. I think disdain towards leaks has increased in the past 2 to 3 years. But honestly, as someone who has followed this stuff for a long time, I think the negative reactions have increased, but the actual leaks themselves are about the same. Like, I don't think there's a great, you know, prevalence of false information out there at all. In fact, I think if you're following the more credible stuff that gets posted by Mark Gurman, Ming-Chi Kuo, Ross Young, most of the stuff that makes it to the tech blogs does have at least some degree of credibility. I mean, I've made it to those tech blogs, and I had to prove that I wasn't just making stuff up. Like, I didn't just say, like, here's my thing, and they were like, all right, whatever, put it on the internet. They were like, we want to know, like, that you stand by this. So, leaks can be true, they can be false, they can be somewhere in the middle, but the people, unless you're talking about some random, like, Twitter leaks 123 at apple.com, you know, with 400 followers who's like, I just heard that the iPhone 17 is coming out this year. Like, okay, yeah, obviously, use your common sense, but there is a gut reaction for people to just immediately say, that's all wrong, everything's wrong, they're lying, they're making it up, when that's not the case.
Yeah, I think more than any, like, you know, these days people have, I guess, how do I put this? I was going to say that people have gotten better at determining what's fake on the internet. I don't think that's fully true, but I think that the kinds of people who watch this podcast, at least, the kinds of people that are actually hearing this and who are plugged into the world and who keep up with it, I feel like those people are better at determining, you know, if Apple leaks are completely fake or not. So I think, you know, back in the past, maybe it was the Wild West and, you know, people would publish whatever and make, like, fake, you know, mock-ups, fake renders and try to pass them off as real. I feel like these days, you know, people have a better understanding. And then, like you said, with the kind of news that actually gets published, that they want to make sure that you actually have a source and that you stand by what you're saying and that you're not just making stuff up. So, you know, all of that means that maybe people can let their guards down a little bit, or maybe not let your guard down, but be a little more willing to consider a leak. And, you know, if you just want to look at all leaks and say, that might be true, it might not be, I'm not going to make any decisions based off of it, then that's fine. But, you know, you don't need to necessarily fully discount, you know, any leak that you see these days.
To your point about the Wild West of the old days, I want to show you something that might spark some nostalgia as we wrap up this show. I'm very excited for WWDC and the headset specifically. Obviously, we've got plenty of time to dive into that. But back when things were the Wild Wild West and leaks were either... I mean, I feel like if you go back to the early days of the iPhone, the leaks were either completely made up off the top of people's heads and just had no basis, or they were like, hey, there's the device in a cafe. That's it. That's the iPhone 4.
Oh, yeah.
Like... there was no real in between. And so this is a collection of some of the goofy, wacky concepts that I personally remember, I don't know if you guys will, from the early days. I think that this concept, I guess this is from July 2011, so this would have been before the iPhone 4S came out, which I guess explains why this one says iPhone 5 on the front bezel. So yeah, I like that these are the most innovative Apple iPhone concepts designed by talented artists. There's, of course, this famous one.
The transparent iPhone.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I remember thinking that at the time, that this was just goofy. I mean, first of all, ridiculous. How would this even ever exist? And it would be a usability nightmare. There's no point for this at all.
Wait, hang on. Are you telling me that you don't want to see your hand, the inside of your hand, while you're playing with your iPhone?
Not to mention, where the hell is the battery?
Don't worry about that.
Like, why did this get press? This makes no sense. There's no... People were like, oh, wow, that's really cool. I think this really shows how much more informed people are about the actual reality of the world that they live in than they were in 2011, when they were like, oh, Steve Jobs could make the iPhone clear. Sure. Dumb.
I honestly wonder if people really believed these concepts or not, but I will say, I feel like these days, if you came out with a concept like one of these, the projector iPhone, come on. Like, if you came out with a concept like that, people would just think it's like funny or dumb. Whereas I feel like when this article was written, people would look at this and be like, wow, that's so cool. I wonder if that'll ever happen. Like, there is definitely a tone shift over the years.
This is the worst one ever.
That's the secret bracelet.
By the way, we're not even halfway. It's the secret bracelet. Yeah, absolutely. So, dude. Okay. This one was called the iPhone Next Generation Concept. And what it very clearly is a, like, what looks like a GTA 3 screenshot of the worst resolution hand ever, with a screenshot of an iPhone display, which, by the way, anything at the top of the screen is unusable, completely cut off by the gaps in your fingers, being projected from a wristband that has inexplicably a speaker hole, like an earphone hole, and an Apple logo on one side, with a toggle for projection on and off. This is so ugly.
Can I also point out that it has the installer app on it, so it's jailbroken?
Oh, you're right. It does. This one is also pretty ugly. This one's not, like, insane or technologically impossible, so I will give it credit for that. The iPhone
it's
Nano.
Ugly. Oh, okay, but the slide iPhone... to unlock. The slide to unlock.
Yeah, I miss it.
That's a classic.
Here's a smaller.
We kind of got that. Not that small, but we kind of got that.
Yeah, well, the iPhone Mini wasn't smaller than it was bigger than the iPhone 4.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the closest one. This is closer than the projector.
All right, here's another concept. This one at least... I mean, I don't like it, but it at least is, you know, within the realm of being actually possible. And it's not clear or a projector. Here's the elegant iPhone concept. That just looks
like a 3GS.
Yeah, that's just a 3GS, a low poly 3GS with, I guess this whole bottom is one big button.
Oh, geez. The one above that looked like an Android phone. This just looks like... That was like an Android or like a BlackBerry or something. This one just looks like a 3GS.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Here's one where it's just actually, you know what? That's an iPhone 10.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh no, what is this? Oh, a holographic projector. Come on. Oh, is this a video? Oh, thank God.
Oh boy.
Oh no. I mean, you know what? The CG's not bad. I mean, I don't know why you would want to just like see a little hologram of a boat and nothing else.
Turn boat. No, stop. Stop turning.
Yeah. Woo. Well,
that's great. Love something. That.
Oh no. A unibody, because the unibody was new at the time. So they, God, this looks like they literally took the MacBook Air. Why is the home button so wide?
And so recessed.
Oh, and the side picture is just a MacBook Air. It's really, it's top heavy, first of all. So it would just fall out of your hand.
It's so ugly.
I also love like the state of rumors is they put a watermark that said, this is my next rumor.
Yeah,
that's where we were in 2011.
Someone really wanted to put a watermark on that picture. They wanted to take credit for that.
Yeah, they d-
Here's Dude, look another at the camera one. On this the rear facing
the camera looks like an Android phone. It looks yes. like a Samsung S4 on the back.
Yeah. Oh no,
this is just a very thin iPhone. Cool. So yeah, that's what rumors were like. We've come a long way. I think we'd agree.
I think so.
Jeez. Those were the good old days. People, because the worst part was people would make that and then it'd get reported on. They'd be like, innovative iPhone rumor imagines transparent handheld device, Forbes. And I'm like, okay, this is nonsense.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if anyone ever necessarily believed that those were going to happen, but like, definitely those did get reported on in a way that they would never get reported on today. Like the mock-ups and the things that get reported on today are actually based off on like solid leaks and like, yeah. You know, at least like legitimate, like obviously there's artistic, you know, interpretation of the facts, but like there is nothing to interpret in any of those pictures that we just looked at. Those were just made up.
Yeah, that was just like a random guy being like, you know what? Clear iPhone. Screw it.
That's cool. I wish I could do that. I wish I could make a clear iPhone like that. I'm not that
Me
good.
Me too. Absolutely. I don't have the capability, nor does Apple. Apparently, but don't worry about that.
It's unfortunate.
You know what is also unfortunate, Noah?
What's that?
It's unfortunate that this episode of Dark Mode has to come to an end.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I wish that we could just make this into a 24/7, you know, CNN-style live broadcast.
But I feel like we sadly, could. I feel like we could make up enough stuff to talk about to keep it going 24/7.
I mean, we'd be really scrape. We just have to start talking about all sorts of random nonsense. It wouldn't even be news or Apple related at that point.
Yeah, but you know, we could theoretically make it happen. I don't think anyone wants that, least of all us.
Yeah, I think we are universally agreed in not wanting that. And someone as even a result, said,
they said yeah. Time's up in the chat. As soon as it was 1 hour, time's up. That's all they want. 1 hour.
Wow. And they're like, get off of my screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're done.
Well,
here.
Yeah, we'll oblige. We'll oblige. Thank you all for watching. I've been Chief Inspector of the CCRPD, Luke Miani.
And I've been Constable Noah Rubin. We'll see you next week for more CCRP content. Have a great night.